What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
He's obviously got great size, really athletic. I don't know where he'll fit in the whole, like, the style he'll play with.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how that develops. Like, is he going to be a little bit of a runner like Josh Allen was in Buffalo? I don't think he's quite as big as Josh is, but, like, you know, guys like that that have those kind of attributes, you can use them to run the football too,
yeah.
You know? And so I don't think we've seen all that yet in the preseason, but I'm interested to see when he plays if he becomes a little bit more of a dual threat guy or if he's just a pocket passer and a big, tall, strong guy in the pocket. But the games I've seen, he's, you know, he's done a good job.
That is former Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels on the Games with Names and podcast. Ted Johnson's really enjoying this music right now.
Oh, kidding me?
Am I supposed to know what this is?
Pearl Jam, you baby.
Come on, Andy.
This is a great jam.
New man. Show, same shtick. All the other hosts bully Andy because he doesn't know the music.
That's all good, though.
It's just not hip-hop enough for you, Andy.
Arcan used to bully me because I didn't know the hip-hop. Now you guys will bully me because I don't know the...
I'm the same way, buddy. Don't sweat it. You and me he just played a song from my favorite band is all. So that I got lucky.
Well, Ted, Andy's a big country guy. George Strait.
Who doesn't love George Strait?
See,
George Strait. That's I like country when country wasn't cool back in the early. That's George Strait's from the 80s.
Damn right.
Urban Cowboy. You talk about one of the best soundtracks for country.
He was my favorite concert of all time, and most people would probably think it's boring because all he does is stand in the middle of the stage with his guitar and sing.
With that
if you want,
big
like,
old black hat. And
that is technically a concert.
No, I know, but yeah, Garth Brooks is smashing things and swinging and Pink.
Is there anybody cooler than George Strait?
The coolest.
He's the coolest cat, man.
Thank you. We're cool now. Okay, Fitzy, you can proceed. Go ahead.
No, I'm square.
Oh.
What's that?
You have a what?
The, as far as, I had a question for Ted. Yes, Ted, I know we're doing the Stiz Quiz at 5:30.
Uh-oh.
You're emergent.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
You know the original name of Pearl Jam. Which former NBA player were they originally named after?
Can I guess?
Yes, and you can be
his lifeline.
Okay.
I don't know the answer. I know, yes, it's an interesting. Is he from, and would he play for Seattle Supersonics?
He played for the Hawks, wore the number 10.
Yeah, it's a weird name.
And that was why they named their big album 10. Yes, Andy, go ahead, be his lifeline.
Oh, I don't want to guess anymore.
I didn't know that was
with more information. Oh. Mookie Blaylock.
Boom. Who gave you that?
Nobody.
You got
it? Right off the top of my head. Or from the speaker that is attached to my head.
What the hell?
It's called my headphones.
You can't even just let him sink or swim
sometimes
on his own?
He throws me a 20 once a week to help him out.
Sometimes I need a little bit of help. Interestingly, though, Josh McDaniels talking about Drake May. That was back when he was unemployed. Just, you know, shooting the poo with Edelman in the spring, talking about this guy, Drake May.
Now, collecting his money.
According to Mass Live, and he's still collecting money, and that might help him get the job because he's a cheaper hire, theoretically. According to Mass Live, Josh McDaniels has indeed interviewed for the Patriots offensive coordinator job with Mike Vrabel.
That's the first concrete news that's come out about it.
Yeah, because we've all been connecting the dots, and although the dots aren't direct dots, I guess, because McDaniels was a coach when Vrabel was a player. It's not like he worked on the same coaching staff with Vrabel anywhere.
Right.
He was already a young coach when Vrabel was still a linebacker. You knew Josh McDaniels as a young up-and-coming coach who was behind Charlie and then with Brady and the whole evolution of the offense.
Yep. He was holding the cards of practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
working his way up.
It's interesting, and obviously it's going to be very different because Bill Belichick's not the head coach anymore. All those other jobs that Josh held here, Bill Belichick was the guy overseeing everything, and clearly Bill liked Josh, respected Josh. I mean, when he came back from Denver and then St. Louis and that whole thing, Bill talked about him in a kind of a weird way. Like, oh, now we can have conversations because he's been a head coach. You know, we're on the same level, kind of. We see things the same.
And he didn't talk like that about anybody, ever.
No, it really stuck out to me the way he kind of put Josh on a pedestal of respect. Saban, he would talk about that way. Yeah. There's a few guys.
Very few.
But Josh, after he got back from Denver and was still, I don't even know if he was 40 yet. He was still pretty young when he came back
very,
from Denver.
Wait, he was very, because after Denver, he was there for a year and a half, got fired. Went to, in 2011, Spagnuolo's Rams.
Sucked.
Stunk.
Yeah.
And then joined the Patriots that
still
postseason.
Still really young.
What was his role with the Rams? Was he offensive coordinator?
He was the offensive coordinator. Okay. Debacle. Okay. Wasn't good. Bradford. It was just a bad year. But Josh McDaniels, we've speculated a lot about the name over the last few weeks and even months here on this show. I think we may have been the first people to bring up the idea that Josh McDaniels might be the next offensive coordinator.
Well, you're the first.
And then last week we interviewed Schefter, and I asked him to just handicap the field. Who could be the Patriots offensive coordinator? And the only name he mentioned was Josh McDaniels. And I'm like, Schefter, you got the whole league to pull from. Give me. Nope, it was just McDaniels. So I do think there's a good chance that Josh McDaniels is going to be the next offensive coordinator here. So, Fitzy, what's good about that? What's bad about that?
Josh McDaniels brings back familiarity, of course, harkening back to your dynastic days. He's a comfort factor to Mike Vrabel because, of course, he played when Josh McDaniels helped co-pilot the greatest offense in the history of the NFL. And there is the aforementioned malleability of the game plan offense, which he is looking to have improved in this past offseason where he was not coaching at all after getting dismissed from the Las Vegas Raiders. The unfortunate downside to it is that people think that the franchise is now reaching back for the past once again. I'll even read you this tweet that I just read moments ago from at Bryson2047. The Patriots, the extent to which the Crafts want everything to be Bill Belichick adjacent without being Bill Belichick, give me the Belichick Patriots, just hold the Belichick. There isn't. Now,
I mean,
there's
a feel.
There is a I would say the majority of Patriots fans, like your poll, would be mostly on the positive side of Josh McDaniels. Yeah, he'll be great with Drake May. Look what he did with Mack. My God, look what he squeezed out of Cam. He and Brady were just like this. That's great. There are people that want to see different.
Why?
They just want to see, because they just want to see different. I'm not saying they think there are people that want to see Mike LaFleur or they want to see this Grant Udinski because they want to see something that doesn't look like what they've seen before and again and over and in the past. To which I say, but if it works,
this people need to realize it won't look like the same thing.
No, it won't.
You have a different quarterback than you have.
Oh, yeah. So the whole damn team is different. They may even change the uniforms this fall.
I'm okay with Josh. Look, I have no problem with Josh coming here and being the OC. I don't want him near the head coaching job, but as an OC, I think he'll adapt and he'll be fine. Like we know Josh from the perspective of what he did with Mac Jones, Cam Newton, and Tom Brady. Drake May is different from all those guys, and he's got a unique skill set. I think he's got a special skill set. Like Cam Newton could run, but he couldn't throw. Tom Brady could throw, but he couldn't run. Drake May can run. He can throw. I think he's creative. I think he's got special attributes. I think he's I think he'll be the most talented, unique prospect Josh McDaniels has ever coached. And my memory serves me correct, there's a couple of players in the past that he was linked to the Patriots maybe wanting to draft. If you can remember a draft.
Oh, like Lamar?
Like Lamar. And another one, maybe Baker Mayfield is more of a pocket quarterback.
They wanted to trade up to number two to get him in 18.
Let's just say that those true. Those are different style of quarterbacks that he reportedly liked and wanted back then. So it tells me he's going to be fine with a quarterback like a Drake May, something different than he's ever coached. I don't think he's going to have that big of an issue with it because I think he's always coveted those types of quarterbacks. So I'm okay with this if this is what's going to end up happening.
And I continue to say he's too young to rest on his laurels, Josh McDaniels. If he really wants to keep coaching for a long period of time at 48, you know, if he wants to get another 20 years out of it, he needs to evolve with the times, evolve with the quarterbacks, right? Like, don't just say, I did this with Brady in 04, and damn it, you're doing it with Brady, with my offense now.
If I'm Josh, I'm trying to make a kind of reinvigorate my legacy, because a lot of people say, well, that was Brady, wasn't you? You know,
right.
It was Bill.
And he had two horrible, horrible stints as head coach. So I think just his coaching legacy could use a boost.
Second one was worse.
Which was shocking to me. Yeah. It kind of was worse. Just real quick, because we're up against it, but we started this conversation with you about coaches and having to be smart and the different things they need to do to succeed. You were around Josh McDaniels. Does he have the base knowledge-based skills that you believe can be a good coach now as he evolves as a coach?
As an offensive coordinator all day, every day.
Yeah.
I don't want him to be the head coach anywhere near head coaching, but I think he's a tremendous, tremendous offensive mind, and he'd be a good head offensive coordinator.
And luckily, we have a head coach named Mike Vrabel who can oversee it all and let Josh just kind of do his thing offensively.
Just let Josh do his thing.
Evolve.
Yep.
Coach Drake May.
Yep.
And continue to develop Drake May, because for better or worse, both your careers will be tied to how good Drake May is. Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels, if he indeed gets the job. We have the reports, thanks to Mass Live. Josh McDaniels has interviewed for the Patriots open offensive coordinator job. WEEI Afternoons here, heading into the 5 o'clock hour, and that means one thing. We continue to talk a little NFL. We continue to take your call, 617-779-7937, but we are less than a half hour away from what most people tell us is the best part of the show, and that's Quiz with Stiz. Ted Johnson making his virgin voyage. Quiz with Stiz, up next, WEEI Afternoons.
Heavy pressure, Howard delivers downfield, and Smith! In the second half, until that potential game clincher.
Meaning they blitzed seven, they left everybody on an island, and Ohio State thinks that's a mismatch with Jeremiah Smith against anybody. Not only that, but the corner, Christian Gray, gave him a cushion.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart here alongside Nick Fitzy-Stevens. And as you heard, do you act like, is your name legally changed to three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson?
It's been legally changed to Teddy Three Rings. is the name I went by down in H-Town. So Teddy J and Teddy Three Rings was what I was called down there in Houston.
What kind of love do they give you down in Houston? Because obviously the Texans franchise has no Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Like you're part of so many.
It was, you know what, Fitzy, I was very fortunate. People accepted me pretty quickly down there. And the biggest reason, even though I didn't play college football or I didn't play, obviously, for the Texans, everyone there knew I grew up an Oilers fan. That's where I'm originally from. My love of football was rooted in Houston Oilers. My dad had season tickets to the Houston Oilers, so that helped. And then being part of a successful team, obviously being on Super Bowl, that gives you some credibility down there. And so that was my way into the mainstream Houston radio, and I was accepted pretty quickly because of those things.
What era Houston Oilers was that you were attending?
So I was there, but the Bum Phillips, Earl Campbell, I was 2 years old. My parents moved to Houston when I was in 73, right? And so the Oilers were there up until 96.
Yep.
And then they moved to, obviously, to Nashville. And Houston didn't have a team from 96 to 2002.
Right.
And it was cool because in 2001... there's an iconic beat reporter down there by the name of John McClain.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Famous beat. He's been covering the Oilers for years, all right? And he's, everybody knows the general John McClain, and the Chronicle gave him carte blanche in 2001 to go cover any story he wanted in the NFL because there was no team locally, right? And so he was coming up to Boston a lot because the 01 Patriots was a kind of a big deal. It just became, and John and I formed a really close relationship, and I moved down to Houston to get my life cleaned up in probably 2012, and I'll never forget. I think it was 2012, 2013, it was around 2011, 2012 when I'm going on a long chain. I'll try and shorten it.
It's okay.
It was, I'll never forget, I was helping my parents relaunch a barbecue restaurant. My parents had a barbecue restaurant.
The Rib Tickler.
Unbelievable. You remember that name. 35 years, right? About 45 minutes outside of town. And they sold it and they bought it back. And so I was helping them relaunch. And I was sitting out there doing, busting tables. And my mom comes up to me, my stepmom. She says, Junior Seau is not with us anymore. Junior, you took his own life. And I started listening to sports talk in Houston and just to hear what people were saying. And I heard John talking and I said, you know what? I'm going to reach out to John. Cause I did shows for John when I was a Patriot, when he would go on in Nashville. And so I reached out to him. He goes, Ted, you want to come on and talk? I'd love for you to come on and talk about your concussions. And so I did. And that was the genesis of my radio career. They gave me a part-time show. And then I parlayed that into a weeknight show. Huh. And then parlayed that into an afternoon drive show. And that's how I became into radio. It all started with John McClain. But that's kind of my history with Houston. I love the Oilers. Earl Campbell was my guy. My first number was 34. All my favorite players.
Iconic logo. Yeah.
The iconic logo and the iconic player. But
too.
Iconic number.
Oh, legendary. I remember I was down in Houston 12 years ago working on this show, and somebody came up to me and said it was tailgate-based, and it was college football. We were at Jerry World. And someone came up to me and said, hey, you got to try this. This is Earl Campbell's famous sausage. The man's right over here if you'd like to interview with him. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? I grew up watching the Oilers on TV all the time. Earl Campbell was the man in the bum-filled
era. What was he known for?
What's that?
What was Earl Campbell known for? Do you remember?
Just absolutely crushing human beings. Yeah.
He had these big tree trunk legs.
And also taking all those hard hits on the concrete floor of the Astrodome.
And giving them.
And he knocked many people over.
He ran with that little bit of that forward lane.
And anyway, put his helmet right between guys' chests.
He ruined people. And he was the definite to me, like top five all-time NFL running back. But the sad part was, he's like, would you like to come over here? I was like, of course I would.
You needed to walk to him.
No, I did. He was in like a wheelchair. Couldn't even get up. And I just thanked him for all the entertainment he provided. It made me so sad that his knees were just done 12 years ago. Damn good sausage.
And you know what? And he's a sweetheart of a guy. And just real quick, just to kind of put a bow on it. So my favorite players all wore the number 34, and they were all iconic players for Houston sports teams. 34, Earl Campbell. Can you think of who wore 34 as an Astro?
Nolan Ryan.
Boom! Nolan Ryan. Now, can you think who won?
Paul Pierce.
Who won 34 for the Houston Rockets?
I don't know.
Akeem Olajuwon.
There you go. So really? Akeem Olajuwon, Nolan Ryan, and Earl Campbell all wore the
That's
number 34.
That's kind of cool.
Best move by a center of all time. Everyone says the greatest move by a center of all time was Kareem's hook shot because it was pretty indefensible. I still say the dream shake.
The dream shake from...
Did you see what's-her-name's using it?
Shakira.
No.
Madonna.
Caitlin Clark's rival.
Oh, Paige Beckers.
No.
Angel Reese.
Yes. Apparently Angel Reese is breaking it out.
The dream shake?
Yeah, she missed.
From what I saw. This just in. Not good.
But he was a artist around the rim. The turnaround fall away bank shots. His skills underneath the basket were unbelievable, right? So we digress, but that's my quick history on Houston.
That's good because Earl Campbell to me is an iconic player I didn't watch him, I didn't live it, but just like you watch NFL films or highlights and the old jerseys, the tearaway jerseys, and
his
then him
coming off.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
People.
Yeah, Q's shoe coming off all the time.
Like, you know, the old hammer of the nail? He was the hammer, and the linebacker was often the nail that paid the price for it. We have a little bit more updated news out of Foxborough. We mentioned this name earlier, but apparently it's now official. According to Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, Patriots interviewed Dolphins offensive linebacker Ryan Crow today for their defensive coordinator position. Per a source, Crow coached with Vrabel for 6 seasons in Tennessee and is a popular name around the league. I don't really know exactly what that means.
I've never heard that name before.
Said it's a popular name.
Right. In league circles, of course. Those are very incestuous circles. How is the average football fan to know the names of any of these guys unless they've been getting the buzz like Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, now the head coach of the Chicago Bears? Those are names that have become householdish names, household adjacent. How the hell am I supposed to know who
I consider myself an above average football fan, and I don't know these names. So don't sweat it if you don't know these names. We're all going to get to know these names in due time. But it's no surprise that Mike is going to the old well. He's going to guys that he, you know what, I'd rather him do that than the Gerard Mayo thing. Hey, let someone else that I just was put to work, told to work with, and let him pick all my coaches. I want Mike picking his own coaches.
And he can sink or swim on his own. Like, now there's no, this is your guy. You brought him in. You hired him. No finger pointing. No. I mean, last year we heard all this. Gerard had to use Elliot's Rolodex, and these were all recommendations Elliot brought in. Okay,
that's not a good. That doesn't set you up for success,
and it creates a
dynamic behind the scenes that isn't really workable.
So now we know that. How did Schefter put it? Vrabes is the man. Vrabes is running the show down there, and he's putting his people in place to run the show beneath him.
Good.
So if it goes like
all good head coaches do,
and it makes it easy for us. You know why? They succeed, we praise Vrabel. They fail, we rip Vrabel. We got one person. We know where to shoot. Right?
Like we know where the buck stops.
Absolutely,
no doubt.
Okay, so we have Peter Schrager right here, who tweeted within the last hour, seeing multiple rumors online of Rams OC Mike LaFleur being linked to for everyone at home, New England. Not to be the internet police, but that's not happening.
Oh, well, so forget Schrager's
sexy alternative name. out, and then you also have more people just freaking out. Like, I had McDaniels first. No, I said he was in the building. No, I said it's already in agreement.
What, all these the reporters?
Everyone is fighting. Reporters, aggregators, et cetera. Everyone's fighting to be first.
Yeah, of course.
Just be right. That's
they
it.
Get sensitive.
ABC, always be closing, and JBR, yeah. Just be right.
617-779-7937. Let's head back to the phone lines. Let's go to Richie in Brain. Tree's been hanging on for a while. Richie, what's up?
Hey, Fitzy, class of 1994. We're old friends. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Richie, nice to hear from you, guy. Good. Thanks for calling in and tuning in, big guy.
I just wanted to give a shout out to Ken and all the powers that be that brought you three together, because this show is awesome and what we needed. I love it. Everyone's listening. You guys are going to be number one in the next year. Cannot wait.
Richie, my guy. Thanks for the call, Richie.
Love that is wumps. The best call of the day. Hopefully he is, what do they say? Prophetic?
Prophetic, yes, indeed.
Hopefully he's prophetic. I like where his mind's at.
Braintree knows where it's at, man. You kidding me? Hey, how many? Okay, I know you're a South Coast guy. I'm a South Shore guy. How many former U.S. presidents were born in your hometown?
I don't think any.
I'll hang up and listen.
That's not really fair.
Makes it a very intelligent place with great history. No,
200 years ago it was intelligent. Now it's you.
What the?
Can I tell? I don't.
Shots fired. I'm catching strays for no reason.
Tell us who the president was.
What's that?
Who was the president?
John Adams and John Quincy Adams.
I probably should have known that, huh? Mm-hmm. Shame on me. Okay.
See, and they know what? Then they gerrymandered and redistricted, and Quincy stole our thunder. Well, I'm on to you, Quincy. You hear me? I'm on to you.
I will hear no Quincy slander in this studio.
His name is John Quincy Adams, and he was born in Braintree?
Yep.
Huh. Who knew?
Braintree used to be like the Pangea of the South Shore, and then they broke it up, and there became like Randolph. Nobody goes to Randolph on purpose, by the way, unless you're going to like get good pizza, but otherwise, no.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Chuck in New Hampshire wants to talk about Mahomes' penalties. Chuck, what's up today?
Hey, what's going on? I think this might be the call of the night here. Andy, I'm happy for you, brother, because I remember on Saturdays here in Mark and Hart, I don't know if it was part of your shtick, but I feel like Mark James always tried to big time you, and I'm happy to hear you in the one chair now on afternoon. So
thank you.
Congrats to you. The whole Mahomes thing, I know it was kind of a little while ago you were talking about it, but I think the refs just got to decondition the athletes. I'm not trying to advocate for more injuries, but if they stop throwing the flag, I think the athletes will start to understand, like, if you're tiptoeing on the sideline, you have to decide. You're either going to try to get that extra yard or two, or you're going to have to go out of bounds. Because if the refs stop throwing the flag, you can't rely on tiptoeing and then hopefully getting even, like, partially touched. Or if you get lit up, you get the flag. But if the refs aren't going to call it anymore, it's going to force you to think, okay, I just got to step out of bounds. I can't take the risk. Or if you want to, you got to put your head down and try to get the yard. So I think that's what they got to do. Stop throwing the flags.
All right. Thanks for the call,
that's
Chuck.
That's never going to happen. He's saying, hey, recondition the quarterback to play. No. They're trying to condition the defensive players to not hit quarter. It's not fair.
This is where I jump to your side.
Okay. But aren't they supposed to swallow laundry? Or they swallow the whistle, hold the laundry in the playoffs? Like, let them play. It's the playoffs.
Yeah, but
not when it comes to that position.
Yeah, not when it comes to quarter. Anybody else?
And you have to
anybody else.
And I also think the big hits, like playoffs, everyone's watching. It's a higher profile game. And so any calls that are questionable with helmet to helmet, roughing the passer, those kinds of things, they're going to err on the side of caution. They're going to throw the flag. They're not going to let those go in those moments. Maybe a week two game against Atlanta and Carolina, they let it go, but not in these high profile games.
And you're right, and it's not just because you are a former middle linebacker. They're not going to ask the offensive guy to change his game for years. I mean, we're going on decades. It's always the defensive guy who has to
adjust.
Change his target zone, change how he does this, let up, don't do this. I mean, if we needed any example of that, the idea that I can't land on you when I tackle you, midair I'm supposed to sort of Superman it and roll off of you while I'm sacking you, that was when you really realized, no, it's all on the defensive player. They're always going to take, ask the defensive player to change his game. And I think that's why sometimes, honestly, like, we get on these airwaves, Fitzy. What's wrong with the Patriots tackling? They suck on defense. Well, they got a lot to think about. They think a lot more than they used to because they have to worry about where they hit a guy, where, you know, who they hit, when they hit him, how they hit him. In the old days, like the hip drop tackle. Like, in the old days, that was just called a tackle.
Yep.
For it or against it, Ted?
Look, I'm a big, like, I don't, what do you grab onto?
Right.
I mean, I don't know what else, if you're kind of.
I can't grab the nameplate.
But I will say this, don't fall. But you can, as a defensive player, you can grab the collar. But they're going to fall on him.
No, I know. And but guys, Roy Williams ruined that for everybody. Broke a couple legs doing the old horse collar. I feel bad for guys like you where there's a big, fast dude coming at me. Gronk's coming at me. And I have to think about how I'm going to get him on the ground. Yeah. In the old days, it was just get him on the ground, right? You would make money if you prevented him from moving forward.
Yeah.
Now you have to prevent him from moving forward within this rule and that rule and think about this and think about, and I think it's hard to do.
It's hard to do, but they're better athletes than I was.
So they've been listening to these calls. They love you.
You can condition the player to change what he's how to play the game. You can. It's not fair, but you can.
It's not fair. It's just the NFL. That's how we'll look at it. This is WEEI Afternoons. It's not fair. It's just the show, and we are coming down the home stretch here. WEEI Afternoons, 617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. We're going to have Dan Ball trending, and then we are going to have our first ever Ted Johnson Lifeline as part of Quiz with Stiz.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Some Patriots news and notes from the day. It's official. Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel interviewed Josh McDaniels today for their offensive coordinator vacancy. McDaniels is believed to be a top target in New England. The team is also targeting Lions defensive line coach Terrell Williams to be their new defensive coordinator under Mike Vrabel, sources tell CBS Sports. Before Detroit, Williams was Vrabel's defensive line coach and assistant head coach with the Titans. And per Tom Pelissero, the Patriots interviewed Dolphins linebackers coach Ryan Crow today for their defensive coordinator position. Crow coached with Vrabel for 6 seasons in Tennessee and is a popular name around the league. In national NFL news, Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson has agreed to a deal to become the Chicago Bears' next head coach, and the Vikings and coach of the year candidate Kevin O'Connell have agreed to terms on a blockbuster multi-year extension that keeps him in Minnesota for years to come. The conference championships are on Sunday, and WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. The Bruins and Celtics were both winners on Monday. The Bees doubled up the San Jose Sharks at TD Garden yesterday afternoon, 6-3. Charlie Coyle had 2 goals, including the game winner. Boston visits New Jersey tomorrow night. The Celtics, meanwhile, dominated the Golden State Warriors 125-85 on the road on Monday night. It was Golden State's most lopsided home loss since 1985. Boston visits the LA Clippers tomorrow night. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. It's a quiz with Stiz on EEI Afternoons, and it's on the way right after this.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Got to be around the, you know, the anomaly that is Mike Vrabel. No, but he was that guy who was, you know, you were much happier that he was on your team, you know, than not on your team. Because if he wasn't, you thought he was just the biggest ever. You know what I mean? But he was our.
That's Josh McDaniels describing former Patriots linebacker Mike Vrabel, who might soon be his boss. In Foxborough, reports today that Josh McDaniels may have been in the building. He interviewed, the kind of proceeding down the road. He's not the only candidate.
It's trending that way.
Yeah, it's certainly trending that way. That voice was Ted Johnson, a fellow former Patriots linebacker. Newest member here of WEEI Afternoons alongside myself, Andy Hart, and Nick Fitzy Stevens. As we roll through what I think so far, and I probably shouldn't do this, it's a little early to jinx it, has been a successful first show, I feel like, as a trio. I don't think we've...
No one turned on my mic, but we're still here.
Wow. Hey, Bus, Fitzy, jeez. Stiz, wow.
I mean, it's tough.
I would say it's been kept on the rails. On the rails.
I will take that as a compliment for my first day running this show.
No doubt.
On the rails. 617-779-7937. I do. We got an assignment for you. Because you know how everybody says, What are they like when you want to go to a bunch of calls quickly? They'll be like rapid fire or something. On our own unique way to say, listen,
lightning
got a few
round.
Call lightning round. Oh, that's a that's a Michael Holly. There.
That is a Michael
that's a Michael Holly lightning round. I've done that
that's
with
it.
Him. So we're not doing lightning round. We're not doing rapid fire. But we need a WEEI. And I know Fitzy, you fancy yourself the idea man. I want a proprietary description of what I'm about to tell callers, and that's that. We don't have a lot of time. I want to get to all of you guys that are hanging on there. So go quickly, okay? Fitzy, plant that seed.
Okay.
Put that in the back of your mind while you
yes,
do
Ms.
that.
Yes, Miss Daisy, I'll get on it.
Let's go to Martin in Rhode Island. Martin, you're on with Ted Johnson and the rest of the WEEI afternoon crew.
Ted and the rest.
It's kind of who we are.
Well, gentlemen, I am so happy to be hearing your insightful conversation. And I wanted to invite New Kid to Free Jacks match. My company is one of the long-standing sponsors for the New England Free Jacks.
And, oh, it's it. This is Martin, my buddy, who's a regular at the Free Jacks games. If you've ever gone down,
time, man, that's a good time.
It is. It's down in Quincy. It's
oh, I know where it's at. Morals.
It's our pals Quincy. Chung and Nate are the part owners. It is a blast.
It's a good time.
It
I've
is
heard
a blast.
Yeah.
Show outing.
Well, I was just wondering if, in case Ted had forgotten what championship play looks like, we are a two-time MLR. Champions and looking to three-peat, and I would love it if two or three of you might join us for a match, and maybe Fitzy could reach out to me if that's something you wish to follow through with.
I'm adding that to
all
my
right,
to-do
Martin,
list, Martin, right
call.
Now. I'm lining up the first ever free. You know what it is? It's about the fact you can, like at first when the Patriots got good, and then everyone that was there for like, I've been here for 30 years, they've been garbage, yeah. I deserve this. You still felt like you had ownership of it.
Okay.
Before it got too commercialized. Same thing with Red Sox. Too expensive at Fenway. Oh, everyone loves the Celtics now. Whereas this is still a boutique experience. It's localized. And the fans that have been there from day one feel like they still have ownership of it. Like it has not gone national. It hasn't gone Hollywood, if you will.
So real quick, when's their season? How's that work?
Starts, I think, in February. And it goes all through the spring into early summer. And they are two-time MLR Shield defending champs.
Andy, I've been to a game. It's been years. But it's the crowd's fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's a unique crowd.
Show outing.
Pro rugby,
people,
here we go.
The hardcore rugby people are interesting and I'd say different. Fun people to hang out with, man.
All right, let's go. Paul in Marlboro, we're not doing the lightning round, but I'd like you to go fast. What's up?
Hey, guys. Just want to say it's a pleasure to have you on, Ted. I work long hours from 7 in the morning to 7:30. I drive for a living. I listen to the sports talk. I'm an admitted. I jump from station to station, and I do not like listening to Felger and Maz. Pleasure to have you on board, brother.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Paul. Thanks for the sentiments, too, I guess.
Love that.
Who's he talking about, Felger and Maz?
I don't know. What is that? Is that a thing? Yeah, who knows?
You're right, Andy.
Matt in Rhode Island, what were your thoughts on the football that we're seeing last weekend and coming up this weekend?
Yeah, just real quick, Ted, Red Jacket speaks for itself, but stuff you've shed light on off the field. Super important, buddy, so thanks for that. So these two games, these teams are very familiar with themselves, so I'm interested to see what wrinkles they put in. But as far as the Bills-Chiefs game, man, Ted, talk to me. Like, what are they going to do to take Kelsey out of the game, not off the field? Like,
yeah.
I mean, someone's got to buy something to, figure him out. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Mm-hmm.
Real quick, what you need to do better with Kelsey is just – I would say hit him at the line of scrimmage. Don't let him get free release. And then in critical situations, I'd say any third down in three or more, double team him. And anytime you're in the red zone, double team Kelsey. So double team him in the red zone, double team him on third down, and hit him on the line of scrimmage so he doesn't get free release.
Funny how he always seems to hold a little something in the tank for the postseason, which makes sense. And I know we got to get to our quiz in 1 second, but the football, the voracious appetite of the football-loving audience since we have been hardcore football people today begs me to ask this question. And you don't have to just play to the masses here, Ted.
Yeah, cool. You're good.
Greater tight end, Kelsey or Gronk?
Yeah. It's a tough one. I think they're both, they're both kind of unique in what they do. I'd say, Kelsey's a better receiving tight end. Mm-hmm. I think Gronk's a better all-around tight end.
So that's what the people need to hear.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
According to reports from Diana Russini and Ian Rappaport on NFL Network, the Patriots are indeed hiring Josh McDaniels to be once again their offensive coordinator, the multi-time New England assistant, joining Mike Vrabel's staff. So that question we've asked,
yeah,
who will be developing and leading Drake May? The answer is a visor guy, Josh McDaniels.
This is the best worst kept secret in all of Boston, New England, the NFL, and beyond. Hey, Stiz, here's your Stiz quiz today. What was the last year that Josh McDaniels was offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots?
Easy. 2017.
All right, that is incorrect. That is the end of today's Stiz quiz. It's 2021. Stanley, that was the year that he was able to get Mac Jones to a 10-7 record.
To the playoffs.
Playoffs. And then get their doors blown off. And that's putting it kindly, 47-17 to the Buffalo Bills. Now, to everyone that is saying, no, I don't want to do it. We're just running it back. We're trying to do the dynasty all over again without Belichick. We're clutching on to the past. We need to be new and fresh. It's a new era of football. Just remember this. Yes, I know it was Tom Brady orchestrating the offense. Yes, you had the brilliance of Bill Belichick overseeing the whole operation. But were there that many times, save, of course, Andy's least favorite play in the NFL, which was hurry up and suck, when they would go down the field.
Hurry up and fail.
Hurry up and fail. Hurry up and suck. That's my mantra. First and goal at the 8.
Pause.
And they would just like run. Pause. So, I didn't even think what I walked
into. Yeah, you got to be careful when you're talking about sucking.
Hurry up and stink. Hurry up and fail, as it was. Like, oh, they went all the way down the field. Why are you rushing, Josh? Take your time. The guy knows what he's doing. He works every quarterback that has worked with Josh McDaniels will tell you that he has a great mind for the game. And even though it was awful in Vegas in the second stint, that first year, they looked pretty darn good. And then he drafted Debo.
He can coach offense. He can coach quarterbacks. 617-779-7937. We are having to forego quiz with Stiz today.
How about that?
Little breaking news. Josh McDaniels back as the offensive coordinator. So, do you like the hire? Do you not like the hire? Are you worried? I'm with Fitzy. I think Josh can coach quarterbacks. Even if you go back to Denver, early in that first season, Kyle Orton was playing the best football of his career. And Kyle Orton is a journeyman quarterback, whatever you want to call it. But people seem to just say, just Brady. And his ultimate success was with Brady. But he had the year with Matt Cassel, where he was able to take what was admittedly a very good offense, but produce, get 11 wins, get Matt Cassel to a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. Even the year when Brady was suspended. You know, everybody last year talked about how AVP in his last year with the Browns got, I think, 5 quarterbacks ready to play.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Well, Josh had to get Tom Brady ready for a season, then Tom Brady bowed out. Then he had to play Jimmy Garoppolo, then Jimmy Garoppolo bowed out. Mm-hmm. He had to get Jacoby Brissett in there, and then he went back to Brady. So he's dealt with some moving pieces, and then you fast forward into Cam Newton, you fast forward into Mac Jones. I mean, I have to admit, I'm a fan of Josh's. I've always had a really good relationship with him. He and I started as interns together with the Patriots, so we would kind of meet in the break room.
What happened?
Like, he made a lot more money than I did.
He took a right, and you took a left at the bend in the road is what it happened.
Serious question. You know the path less taken? I took the dumbass path less taken.
No, that's the classic one, like, I used to perform on stage on a nightly basis with Nick Kroll and John Mulaney. What happened to them versus where am I? 617.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ted, I know you argued earlier, Chip Kelly, that there might be an argument to be made, all of he brings. What are your reactions to Josh McDaniels? Like, do you think this is a home run, a double? I mean, are they going to be a better football team because Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator?
I do. Yeah, okay. I think I'm okay with the hire. I'm a fan of Josh's. I would have been intrigued maybe more if it was a Chip Kelly or a Tommy Rees. But you've kind of threw it out there earlier in the show that you've heard that maybe Josh has been really studying college offenses.
Yep.
I want Josh to just expand his understanding of the quarterback position. And I think there's a trend starting to develop with the quarterbacks in the NFL today. They're less and less staying in the pocket. It's more on the move, from shotgun. And so I think you got to have a different way in which you coach quarterbacks. My feeling is Josh is going to be just fine. And one of my biggest kind of impressive qualities about Josh is I think he knows how to study an opponent. A lot of coordinators aren't good at studying the opponent and knowing how to attack an opponent's weakness. Josh will know how to attack an opponent's weakness. You'll watch mm-hmm. how the game is being played, and you'll go, oh, he clearly sees these corners can't tackle, for instance. So we're going to run a lot of toss sweeps. We're going to force them to come up and make plays. Little pick plays. Little plays to get guys open in critical situations. Creativity around in the red zone and in the goal line I just think some offensive coordinators aren't good at. So I'm okay with the hire. I think it's a good one, and I have no problem with him being announced as a new offensive coordinator.
And to your point, though, the idea that he has supposedly been out working on his playbook, his approach, his style, that it's not just going to be what Josh has been doing, but rather you'll get me plus something to work on your point, Ted, evolving to be a better play caller, a better coordinator with somebody like a hyper-talented athletic kid like Drake May, who's very college-friendly. That should give people pause. But for benefit.
It's going to be a different offense than he ever ran with Tom. It's
absolutely.
Not even close. Like, this offense needs to be weaponized is the term. I want to see fast guys. I want to see motions. I want to see formationing personnel groups. I want to see, good different cadences, different tempos. Josh can do all that. And he's going to do it, I think, fairly well because he's got a unique player quarterback that he's never had a player quite like Drake May. So I'm very optimistic.
Let the speculation begin. Who in the NFL now, because there's such a lust for a number one receiver, maybe Josh Guys, who is he going to target either
Devontae
on other
Adams.
Teams?
I don't think it'll be Devontae.
Can he put a Taco Bell in the stadium?
I'll take a Taco Bell in my home.
Take it here anytime.
So we said we were going to be interactive. We wanted engagement. I threw out that phone number. Let's get the first fan reaction to the official news that Josh McDaniels is once again Patriots offensive coordinator. We go to Kyle in New Hampshire. What are your thoughts?
Hey, guys. Love the addition of Ted to the show and the new format and everything. But, yeah, I'm a little skeptical. I really hope you guys are right about Josh. He's had, failure with Mac Jones, failure with Cam. I just really hope this isn't just another let's bring Josh back to appease the fans. And this was like a craft, retread kind of thing. Because if this doesn't work, they're in big trouble because this offense needs a lot of work. And I don't know. I hope McDaniels for the third stint in a row here can get things right.
All right. Thanks for the call, Kyle.
Kyle, to everyone else's benefit, just listen for a quick second. Andy said this, signed off on this. I think we all can agree. Ted, you probably would be in lockstep with this whole idea too. Mike Vrabel is not going to just kowtow to the organization or just say, okay, Mr. Kraft, okay, Jonathan, whatever you guys want, if they say it's got to be McDaniels. Like, let's get your spin on this, but like, don't you think, you said Vrabel would no way, shape, or form say, fine, it can be Josh unless he signed off on it, unless he was into it, right?
But yeah, I don't think he's just going to go along to get along or whatever. Like, that's not who he is. I think he probably interviewed some other guys, interviewed Josh, probably has the relationship with Josh, has the reputation of Josh. But no, I don't think that, oh, well, Robert said I have to keep him, so he's the guy.
I would be shocked. I think the Crafts can inject their opinions and definitely kind of maybe make some, decisions that maybe would surprise a lot of us. Mm. But when it comes to stepping on the toes of Mike Vrabel right away on a position like that, that is so important. There's no way. I couldn't even imagine that Vrabel would just say, who do you want as offensive coordinator, Robert Kraft? And go with that. No, Mike has a lot of power. We're all kind of wondering how much power. My feeling is a lot more than we realize. This feels like a Vrabel thing. It can come off as a Kraft production. But I guarantee you, I'm sure Mike is very, very pleased with getting Josh to come run his offense.
So along those lines, the 720, I don't know where that is, Fitzy, where the hell is that?
United States.
Thanks.
I can't believe.
The new part up north, the Canadian new part of the United States, or the Gulf of America part?
Oh, Greenland, a.k.a. huge Maine,
Denver, Colorado, oh, you're biased, but says, are we concerned he was hired because he was cheap?
Oh, is it going to... Are we going down the Judge Patricia? He's on someone else's payroll.
Well, he is on somebody else's payroll, and I think Schefter, the phrase he used with us, would that would make him financially appealing.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's just a side benefit. Tell me who the other top coordinators were that they were interviewing that you like better than Josh. I think that's the best way to judge this hiring, is what was available, who realistically would have come here, and how do they stack up against Josh McDaniels.
And I would look at it this other way, too. If you were in a different city and Josh McDaniels were hired, wouldn't you be fixating on his successes? Wouldn't you be like, wow, that guy won Super Bowls with Brady. That 07 offense was the best ever. He did this. You know what I mean? Like, try to look at that resume from afar, right? Don't just look at it as, oh, God, the same old Patriot way at it. He's accomplished a lot, and I'm biased.
Yeah.
But I think Drake May's job just got a little harder in a sense, because I think Josh is going to ask a lot of him in year two.
Good.
In terms of what you're saying, evolve the offense, more things we need to be able to do. But I think long term, his job just got easier. I think he will feel like Brady felt. I sometimes have the answers. He tells me to motion this guy, and that tells me X, and he tells me if they do that, then boom. I think Drake May, who loved Alex Van Pelt, I think Drake May will like Josh McDaniels.
I think he's going to love him, and I think Josh is going to love Drake because he now has a quarterback that he can be, I think, more creative with.
Absolutely.
I think the play calling and the creativity of the plays that he designs are going to be unlike anything he ever did with Tom, for obvious reasons.
617-779-7937. We see you lined up. So odds and ends today. We'll close out our first new version of WEEI Afternoons with your thoughts on Josh McDaniels' return to New England. He is indeed Mike Vrabel's offensive coordinator. WEEI Afternoons rolls along.
You can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
The new show ends the same way the old show used to. That means odds and ends, and odds and ends is brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-4-KIDS, and that's Cars with a K. But odds and ends today, we're going to stick with the phone lines and reactions to Josh McDaniels, new offensive coordinator reportedly of the New England Patriots. Fitzy likes it. Ted likes it. Andy likes it.
Do we all agree on something the first day? You guys are supposed to be more disagreeable. I want earnest debate.
And we did get some disagreement from both the phone lines and the text lines. But let's go back to the phone lines to see if Tim in Natick is a yay or a nay on Josh McDaniels' return. Tim, what do you got?
Gentlemen, I am a yay. there's a lot of things why I like it. I mean, A, you're not gonna worry about losing him to some head coaching job if he makes Drake May, you know, look like a stud in this offense.
That's actually a really good point.
Not to mention,
I have
a feeling he'll know how to use Hunter Henry and maybe get Kendrick Bourne back in the mix, working some offense. And to be honest with you, I'd like them to go back and trade for Jacoby Myers and bring him back and maybe draft a wide receiver again and really have some. So.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim. I don't hate where his mind's at. I think Hunter Henry, he'll get the most out of him. He's got success with tight ends. Jacoby Myers, that's an interesting idea.
Never should have moved on from him.
Would you bring him back?
I wanted them to trade for him at midseason this year.
But not at the cost of, we're still shooting up here, right, for like T. Higgins or a top 10 pick or like
DK
a true
Metcalf, Debo DK, Samuel. Like,
but get, you know what?
DJ Moore.
Of course. Okay. But he's a pro's pro. Nothing was given to him. He's a hungry player.
Yep.
You know what he does? He gets open fast, and so he's a great outlet for Drake May. And they need somebody to work the middle of the field and get open fast, and Jacoby would be I love Jacoby.
With sure hands. No, you want to rapid fire through these?
Yeah, we're going to rapid fire, and that means we're going to go to Walter in Boston, who questions how wide receivers fit, I guess, in Josh McDaniels' offense. What are your thoughts?
What I'm saying is Josh is great for quarterbacks, but can you name the young wide receivers that he made into a stud? It's like his offense takes their athleticism away. It's like be at this spot instead of let them mano a mano win. That's the only thing. Everything else about Josh I love.
All right, thanks for the call, Walter. Mm. So that's a different spin on they didn't draft and develop wide receivers. That's been a problem. Is that Josh's problem, or was that the personnel?
I think it's the personnel. I think it's the guys making – because how many of the receivers that they brought in have gone on to do good things?
Where was Dobson, Taylor Price, Chad Jackson,
Pro bowlers everywhere. All over the league, they're pro bowlers.
Yellow jackets, bronze bust.
Yeah, so I don't necessarily put that on Josh. And I also put that on somebody else, and I know this is blasphemy. You're not allowed to say that around here.
Do it.
You know who another guy is who made it hard on young receivers?
Thomas Edward Patrick Brady.
Tom Brady expected him to come in and, like, I mean, I remember Jacoby Myers talking about it in the summer. I know if Tom throws to me and I drop it or I'm not where I'm supposed to be, he's not throwing to me again. Right, right. He would put a pressure, and I'm not saying it's unfair, it's the NFL, whatever, but Tom Brady had super high expectations.
And that was because the longer he played, he was because, like, a supercomputer, and so he was... He was so far advanced in these young kids coming up that he didn't have patience for them. Drake Mays, a young kid. Drake Mays starting at the beginning. Right. And so you need to bring in young receivers so they can grow together, but a piece of a veteran kind of piece here and there to kind of give the room some professionalism.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phone lines. Cam in Wilmington, what are your thoughts on Josh McDaniels' return to the offensive coordinator job in New England?
What's up, guys? Two quick points here. One, I think that McDaniels can be the day ball for Drake May. And two, I also think we haven't had a chance to see Josh McDaniels without Bill Belichick and some of the restrictions that were put on for personnel. So I don't think it's necessary to say it's a retread. We got to give him a chance to see if he's got an input in this new regime with Vrabel and Wolf.
All right, thanks for the call, Cam.
I like that. Yeah.
I like that.
By the way, Cam calls in singing the praises of Josh.
You think that was Cam Newton?
BT Dubs, you know something else that's going to come back? The third down back. Josh McDaniels basically helped, like, in addition to helping Wes become the slot machine, the slot receiver role. Just think about it, from J.R. Redmond through Kevin Falk. And
did you say J.R. Redmond?
Yes, I did.
Man, awesome.
Yeah.
Way back machine.
He was huge. He was huge in Super Bowl 36. Awesome. It was massive.
Yeah.
Danny Woodhead, Shane Vereen, Kevin Falk, James White, and then just breaks.
Yeah, died in recent years. I mean, you had Antonio Gibson, but he was a different beast. So the good news is we're all happy. Sounds like callers, for the most part, are happy. You bring in Mike Vrabel as your head coach. You got some stability. You got an adult in the room. And now on the offensive side of the ball, you have some stability and an adult in the room, a guy we know can do the job, at least in these parts. Josh McDaniels. And you know what that means? You hear that music. We're getting echoed off the stage
here.
Good job,
boys. Enjoyed it, man. We had fun.
There we are.
Day one is in the books. It was a historic one. It was the day Josh McDaniels returned. It was the day that Ted Johnson joined the crew. Fitzy and Hart, WEEI Afternoons. I dare say we'll never be the same again. For better, for worse. We're going to be here each and every day, 2 to 6. Ted from 3 to 6. Teddy, 3 rings. We might have to pick that up.
People should tune in tomorrow and find out if their lives have changed for the better.
We make lives better here from 2 to 6, WEEI Afternoons. Want to thank Stiz. Want to thank Dan Ball. Hell, I'll thank Ken Laird. He was shooting us the news as it came fast and furious on the text machine. And I want to thank the callers and texters. We want engagement. We want interaction. And for at least one day, we got it. And tomorrow, I promise for all of you, I will talk less and I will not have as much energy. I can promise that. WEEI Afternoons is done. And now, Christian Arcan, the Christian Arcan Show, 6 to 10. WEEI, he's not yelling at me anymore. I don't know who he's yelling at. You'll have to tune in to find out.